Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And you and I agreed earlier, this isn't about J.B. Bickerstaff. This is more about, you know, the Cavs' growth under Kenny Atkinson. And honestly, like, just through 36 games, let's just be honest with ourselves, Kenny Atkinson has been every single thing that I hoped he could be. Mm-hmm. And that really, I'm not ready to change postseason expectations, but that really gives me a lot of hope in what you can do in the postseason, because all the stuff we saw in that OKC win, the creativity, the inbounds play, some of the substitutions, some of the, just the lineup ideas, switching to zone defense, that nimbleness in game, on his feet, that's the kind of thing where a coach can make a big difference in a seven-game series and just make it more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, again, switching to zone in the fourth was huge. But there was so many times in the past, and this is not going to just rip on JB. That's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
There's so many times in the past where you're like, JB, this isn't hard. It's a big, important spot in the game. Get the ball to Donovan. You know what I mean? It's not hard. Just do that. And it feels like I don't say those things with Atkinson anymore.
Well, and can I just...
Or ever, really, with Atkinson.
So it's not just get the ball...
He makes the obvious play, and he makes it happen.
It's not just... Because I think that's a great point. They do such a good job. I don't want to say your turn, my turn, because that's not what this is. But all right, the game's in the balance. Donovan's going to take this one over. But so much of Donovan being able to do that in the playoffs is going to be him not having to do it for four quarters.
Right.
I mean, we saw it with LeBron. Like, LeBron is 6'8", 270 pounds, and probably not anymore, but 250 pounds. He's an Adonis. He's everything you need to dominate a game in the NBA. And he would wear down after 48 minutes of controlling a game. If he can't do that, if that has held him back in the postseason at points, it's going to hurt Donovan Mitchell. And so what he's done that is so well is he is, in those moments, he's doing the obvious. Find a way to get the ball to your best players. He's also finding a way to kind of take some of the time off their playing early in the season while developing a bench, while getting a look at a lot of the rotations that you need to see and remember for the postseason, while keeping Donovan and Darius healthy.
Yeah, I also think he understands the flow of a basketball game really well, Nick. Yeah. And what I mean by that is the idea that, he doesn't let what he thinks he wants to do in a game disrupt the idea that all of a sudden, like yesterday in the fourth quarter, Ty Jerome had 8 fourth quarter points. Yeah. He's like, all right, Ty Jerome's cooking. Let's let him cook a little bit. And like, he doesn't disrupt the flow of a basketball game in that regard. I think that's really valuable. That's why at the end of the game, you ended up with the top rotation of the night was that Mitchell Mobley one that didn't have any of the other core fours involved with it. It was the Mobley, Niang, Strus, Okoro, Mitchell lineup was your best lineup of the night. And that's because he was like, oh, this one's working. Okay, great. Let's keep that one out there. Not what I expected going into the evening, but it's working, so we're going to continue to ride that.
And as a quick aside on that, Ty made a really dumb play early in the fourth quarter where he had made a little floater, he had made a nice defensive play, and they came back down the court, and he forced it, and it led to a turnover. And he didn't come out of the game. That's a moment where, like, I think, and again, this is just a management style. JB coached so tightly that I think guys knew if you're a role player. Now, this is not the way it works with your stars, but if you're a role player and you make a mistake, your ass is coming out of that game sooner or later, and it's probably going to be sooner. I think Kenny gives him a little bit more bandwidth to make mistakes, and I think that's how you build confidence in players, even if they're not playing 30 minutes a night once you get into the postseason. It is, okay, you made a mistake. We'll get you the next time. We got you.
That's clearly what happened with Ty Jerome. I mean, think about that. I mean, the fourth quarter in and of itself, and I always focus on the fourth quarter. It just matters more. But Ty Jerome was awesome in that
fourth
quarter.
SEC football?
What's that?
You said it just matters more. It's SEC football.
It just matters more. Yeah, yeah. Do whatever slogan you want with it. Well, I do this with quarterbacks, too. I'm like, what were you in the first quarter compared to the fourth? It's just, it's different. And in that game in particular, too, you know, there was a lot there. But yesterday's game to me, beyond Atkinson, it was more about the idea that Mobley and Allen could just take over the game the way that they did. The two of them were so incredible. That's got to be the leaving imprint of that one.
It's interesting. We had Bill Ryder on the Infinity Sports Network show, Ryder Than You, Beyond the Arc Daily Podcast, YouTube, 12 p.m. Eastern every day. Mm-hmm. And we asked him, and this was not a leading question, but we said, all right, put Kobe in the hopper, put Kenny Atkinson in the hopper.
Which I like that he was willing to give Kobe a lot of respect. Now, maybe it's because he wanted to text Kobe. It seemed like he'd kind of shoehorn that one in there a couple times. It is. I think we did this like a month and a half ago, the reminder that Kobe was the only one that wanted to continue with the core four and rolling the dice that way. And like the inaction was action and how important that was. Like, I like that people are bringing Kobe into the equation.
So we threw Kobe in the hopper. We threw Kenny Atkinson and the 15 Cavaliers on the roster and said, all right, through 36 games, 32-4, who is the Cavs MVP? I was surprised at how quickly he got to what you and I think, agree on.
It's Kenny Atkinson for me. You found a way to make the backcourt be a strength. And I think, for me, more importantly, you found a way to make the frontcourt and make Allen and Mobley in particular as a tandem players that can play together and play on the same roster. And you can have the best offense in the NBA with those two guys. And obviously, defensively, you have so much rim protection and so much help there, too. I think it's Atkinson. And I think there's a lot of guys we can praise. Kenny Atkinson is one of the, if you were to extend that question to the whole NBA, right, just MVPs of the NBA beyond just players, Kenny Atkinson is pretty high for me on that list.
I got to say, Donovan has been great this year. Darius, return to form. Evan Mobley's taken a step forward. And knuckleheads who say, who just put it on, well, it's only 18 points a game, clearly don't watch these games. Jared has been every bit the damn player he's been since he got here. There are so many guys you can look at and talk about the value of this team. And by the way, they play 1 through 12. That helps. It's Kenny Atkinson. It's night and day. Like, watching these games, like, guys, they wouldn't be 32-4 with J.B. Bickerstaff. And in fairness, they wouldn't be 32-4 with Terry Stotts, who I'd liked hypothetically as a head coach. Like, this is, like, the Kenny Atkinson bump.
And it is interesting, though. I do wonder, like, if it's, and I think Atkinson is above, obviously, middle of the road. He's done a lot. He's going to win. Oh, we're going to have all sorts of coach of the year conversations, Nick. How about that? Another coach of the year.
Can we get him two? Because I heard that's the number. If you get two coach of the years in this town, you were Teflon. You never make mistakes.
That is kind of wild, though, in a two-year stretch to have every one of your professional sports teams win coach of the year.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. My body is ready.
Has that ever happened before? We'll have somebody look that up. Anyway.
They got ChatGPT. We found that out.
Yeah, they'll just say, they'll say really nice things. They'll say really mean things. And it is what it is.
It's all in the question.
But I do wonder, like, what would they be with an average head coach? Because they did have some things go right from last year to this year, right? You have Garland's 100% health and the bounce back. They've been the healthiest team in the NBA, have they not? Legitimately yesterday, there was no scratches. There was no, like, we talked about Okoro going into the game. He ended up playing. Like, that's about as healthy as you can be 36 games into the season.
Can I sell the health on the coach? Is that a bridge too far?
Like, I don't know.
I think because guys aren't playing 36 minutes a night, your best players at least.
I knew where you're going to go with that one, but I do think there's just so much in just being a pro athlete that them being 100% healthy is a little fluky at this point of the season.
I don't, not when the two previous years, not really any of the JB years, how healthy were you on any given year? Like, it seemed like guys wore down as the season went on, and that's where your injury.
It's pro athlete. It's pro sports. Like, you're going to have, when you deal with your body the way that they do, you're going to have something, some freak accident, something pop up.
Listen, I'm not telling you that this isn't what awaits us in the second half of the season, but I think that's something to look for. And again, I'm not saying it's not about J.B. Bickerstaff's health plan or the. It's about taking care of your guys and not riding them too hard early in the season.
Whether you want to
buy
in a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So that there's something left in the tank.
Okay, but
wait. I mean, I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that's almost, I mean, that is exactly why J.B. Bickerstaff almost got fired last December.
I mean, one of the biggest things I railed on was the idea that Donovan has to play 40 minutes a night for the final four games leading into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bonkers plan. It's like, well, Donovan likes it that way. He likes to really ramp it up. Oh, really? Because he's just going to kill himself, as all he's doing. I get that side of it, 100%. But let's play with this for a second. How much is this Atkinson versus how much is this the growth of the Cavs and this year two to now year three with Donovan in a Cavs uniform and the expected growth that you would have with Evan Mobley entering deeper parts of his career, and then Garland being 100% healthy, and then Jared Allen, by the way, being able to copy and paste what he did last season, which has just been incredible.
Are the Cavs a top five, top 10 offense without this system?
I think so.
I mean, they haven't been.
I mean, I don't know that answer. This is the questions we have to ask, right? It's not just any system. It's like, we're taking this comparatively to JB, and we're giving you an actual average head coach in the NBA.
Who's like an average head coach? That's a good point. Like, we probably. I only can think of good.
You were going to say Nick Nurse, weren't you?
Oh, no, I was going to say Doc Rivers, but that might be mean.
Yeah, Doc's not going to come up with a good plan that way, is he? The idea is that Atkinson obviously got this team to places that we didn't know they could get to, especially when we spent the entire summer debating, do you break up the front court or the back court, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll acknowledge a lot about Atkinson that I like, but I do wonder how much of this would have come naturally if you just let these players develop the way that they have.
I mean, it hadn't come previously.
No,
I think the development has been facilitated.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. No, I know.
But I think we talk about the growth. It's one and one. Like you, the things that facilitate growth are things like confidence. Well, you're super confident when you're 32-4. Trust. Well, you build trust when you lengthen out your bench and we give a lot of guys opportunity and you give them leeway to make mistakes and learn on the job. Confidence, again, is built if you're confident in what you're asked to do. You said it earlier. Everything they did last night in that game made sense, whether it was inbounds, whether it was lineups, whether it was just trying something, right? Like those kind of things, that's the best culture, or that's the best environment for you to foster growth, and that's why it is. I don't even think it's about 32-4. But I'll be honest with you. I think with the average coach, I definitely still think you're a top four team in the NBA. I mean, you are just that much more talented and healthier than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference. To play almost 900 basketball, I got to say, like, I don't unless it's a NBA championship winning head coach, I don't think they're playing 890 basketball through 36 games, half a season. That's why Kenny is the MVP.
I agree with it. I'm trying to figure out how far an NBA head coach alone can stretch out how much he maximizes an actual team, right? Like in the NFL, we put it at limitless. The difference between Andy Reid and anybody else is we can't even quantify it. It's so large, you know? Like it wasn't always that way
because it was Belichick before that. Belichick's on a mountain and nobody else.
No, I'm saying like you can do that in the NFL. You can put somebody and say, if you have a great head coach, you can do just about anything, and we can put that at the feet of the coach. Baseball is the other direction. Baseball, you have a great head coach, and sometimes it doesn't matter. You got a 70-win team. You could have the greatest manager to ever live. It's just not going to make a difference, right? What is that in the NBA? What is that difference there between having what is perceived to be a really good head coach? How much is that worth, and how much is it worth to this Cavs team?
So I think it's just not in a vacuum. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, if Kenny Atkinson had been the head coach since 2018, 2019, you probably would have hit a skid with him, right? As good as he was, Like, maybe Kenny Atkinson just would have been a different version of J.B. Bickerstaff. I think the timing of this is what makes sense. You had had 2 years with Donovan. I think the frustration had built, right? And when you fired J.B., I think it allowed players to release that frustration. And then you hired the right guy who walked in. The right guy at the right moment is the most dangerous thing you can do in sports, in life, really. Like, the right person entering the right situation at the right time, that's box office. And I think that's what it is. So I understand your point, which is, well, how valuable is it in an average head coach? How valuable is a great head coach? The most dangerous thing you can have is a really strong roster and a really strong head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we know it matters. I mean, again, that's why we bring up Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson until we're blue in the face, because we can see what that difference is. We know there is something there. It's just how much this is Atkinson versus how much is this, at the time, the Warriors, for instance, even Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. There are things Steve Kerr fundamentally did and did much differently than Mark Jackson did. How much of that is, though, Steph Curry evolved into the greatest three-point shooter of all time as well?
But I'm not going to put names on it, because I'm not trying to start a war over this. But the reason why this matters, to continue to say again and again and again, is that there were people on this station, in this town, saying, it doesn't matter. JB's a good head coach. They did him dirty. And the head coach doesn't matter that much. Tell me that today.
Right.
Where's that today?
Right.
Because if this doesn't all automatically prove that the narrative that, well, it's a player-controlled league and that's all that matters is talent, well, let's look at Milwaukee.
I remember prominent people telling me in the playoff game against the Knicks, it was like, well, it's execution.
Yep.
You can't put that on the coach. It's execution. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
then.
Listen, I'm not telling you that great coaching trumps talent. Talent matters a great deal in the NBA. But this idea, this narrative that coaches it's a dead business in the NBA, and you're just there to serve the players coffee and paddle their fannies, to fan their faces and tell them how great they
and
are.
And manage egos.
It's not. It really isn't. And you're seeing the power of that. And by the way, buckle up, Buckaroo, because if you think this is great, wait till you get that dude who can coach an NBA game with nuance, in the moment, on the fly, having done it for 82 games. If they're healthy with that guy, you're going to come out of that series saying, why didn't we have Kenny Atkinson 2 years ago? No offense to JB. They're just different coaches. But this is the kind of coach that is a difference maker, not just in the regular season, but in the postseason as well. 216-474-0092. I'm all on board. Is Kenny Atkinson the Cavs' MVP so far and the Cavs' secret weapon and maybe biggest distraction? Next on 92.3 The Fan.